This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info. Welcome to episode 146 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 6th of August, 2011. Tech Webcast is recorded live every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's hosts are Brad, Jason and Aaron. Our special guest is Cam from hangoutparty.com. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Jason. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. How's your week been?
Good, mate. Yourself? Your week's been good.
Any news?
Yeah, I'm getting a Mac Mini from Chatterbox Live.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You need to get more Apple stuff, I think.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Everybody should get more Apple stuff, I think.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's going to actually send me a Mac Mini. It's not a new one. It's actually a 2009 model, but hey, it's still a Mac Mini.
Not a G4 or anything?
No.
Phew, that's lucky.
it's a 2009 one, and yeah, he said that works fine. And
that should be awesome. There's so much you could do with them.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You can put a little server, you can plug them in for a media center, yep. Throw out that boxy box you got, don't need that anymore.
No, we'll be trying to boxy box out.
We'll never do that. You can run the boxy box software on there though, couldn't you?
I think you could, yeah. I think so. Yeah,
but you won't need to because you already got one.
Won't need to, no.
Well, you got one for the bedroom, one for the lounge room.
Yeah, I could probably put it in my room here. Yeah. Yeah, that could be
interesting. Need one for the loo, one for the kitchen.
Yeah, one for the... and the lounge room and that stuff, yeah.
They need a boxy app.
Yeah, they do.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be good, mate. That'd be good. Now, you got just another question I want to ask before we go. The Apple TV got an update too, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they had in there. I'll look at it while we're having a chat and we can discuss that as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I just sent a video of from the guy, Mark, his name is from Insanely Mac.
Yep.
Show. He did a video on it and...
I think they're adding cloudy stuff to it.
Yeah, they are, and they are also, you can rent TV shows now, I think, or buy TV shows.
Yeah, if you bought any TV shows previously, you can now download them through the cloud at any time.
Okay, cool. All right, okay.
We've got Aaron.
We also got Aaron. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, boys. What's going on?
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Tech Webcast.
Good to have you back on again.
Yeah, good to have you back on, mate. How's the dog anyway, mate?
Oh, yeah, the dog's fine. Healing well.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And we've got Cam from hangoutparties.com.
How's it going, guys?
I'm going well.
Yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So what is hangoutparties.com? All to do with Google Plus, isn't it? Sort of.
Can you repeat that?
The website. It's all to do with Hangout Parties. Is that correct?
Google Plus?
Google Plus. Yep. Cool. And how did it all get started?
Okay, when Google Plus first came out, we were really excited about the new social network. So we began using it all the time. And we found that the best, the most exciting part of Google Plus for a large number of people was the Hangout feature, which is the 10-person video chat. Have you guys been doing that?
We have, mate. Indeed, we love it.
Yeah, it's great. Well, we started having Hangouts every day, every night, and we were the rooms only allowing 10 people into them. Was kind of a limitation that I thought we could fix. So we designed a website that the purpose was to allow for more than 10 people to be able to participate in a Hangout on Google Plus. So what we created was called hangoutparty.com, and what that does is it restreams the video to as many other people as want to be a part of the Hangout.
Okay, cool. And what sort of guests? You've also had guests on, singers and stuff, haven't you, on there?
Yeah, so what we began doing is a lot of response came back and everyone wanted to promote their Hangouts on the website. So we started having concerts. We have Bible study on there. We have tattoo artists doing their tattoos. We have all different events. And we set up a schedule so that you could schedule your events and you could do your Hangouts on the website yourself.
Oh, cool. Sounds
good. Sounds a bit like a Justin TV or Ustream for Google Plus Hangouts.
Yeah, it's a similar thing, but with the Google Plus Hangouts aspect of it, there's 10 people that are actually what we call the front row, and they're able to speak and interact. And then the people outside, it's a place for them to listen, watch, and chat with the people in the room and wait for their turn for someone to get in. And what we began doing is having like a rotation where people will spend some time in that front row of the 10 seats, and then they'll step out and allow the other people to come in.
Oh, cool. So it's like a concert sort of thing.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Any questions from Aaron or Jason?
Yeah, what do you find your most popular shows, and how long has it been going for?
Well, we've been working with Daria Musk, who's a lovely, young, talented artist. She sings and plays guitar, and she's been doing her concerts on hangoutparty.com. We actually have a concert coming up on, well, I don't know if I could release the date yet, but it's going to be August 20th. So I think that's the first time people heard the date. Cool. And we had a concert last Friday for Daria, and there was 7,200 people who came and watched the concert.
That's
so
crazy.
It's a lot of response.
Good.
Yeah, wow.
It sounds like a really good platform for helping new artists and bands.
Well, that's what it is. You know, we're still a smaller company, and we're giving everybody the opportunity to broadcast to as many people as possible. But what we help you do is we do the streaming for you, we do the hosting for you, we even do the promotion for you. So you don't have to worry about any of that. All you have to worry about is, you know, your talent, whatever you have that you want the world to see, and you come on a Google Plus Hangout, and we'll take care of all the rest.
Well, we might even get our show on there one day, do an episode.
Yeah, do a live one.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right.
How do people get in contact with you to be on a hangout party? Is there an email on the website or some contact form?
Yeah, there's an email on the website. The email is events@hangoutparty.com. And if you email that, we actually have like 3 or 4 people now checking all the emails coming in, because we have more than we can handle now. And just ask for a schedule, ask for a time to be scheduled, and we're pretty open about allowing anyone on. It's not a heavy audition process, because we believe that anyone's talent is worthwhile to someone. Mm. So if you have something that you want to promote or produce, we can find a time and place, and we'll get you on there.
Cool. Sounds fun. Have you had much feedback about it? Like, any celebrities or want to come on there, or any like Leo Laporte?
Actually, do we do have a lot of people interested in coming on. We do have people coming to us, name dropping, saying they can get these various people on. So
right.
We'll see what type. But there should be some pretty exciting things coming up.
Cool.
Just a little while. Some celebrities that you're all aware of, because a lot of celebrities are still not quite. They don't know what to do with Google Plus.
Yeah.
There are some on there, but not a lot of people have not moved over to this social platform. So when they're coming over, they don't know why they want to be here and what they could do. So they're being directed towards hangoutparty.com, because it was the site out there that was doing this first, and they're really excited. And when they finally realize what it is that Hangouts offer them and Hangout Party offers them, it's always a great feedback from it, and they want to be a part of it.
All right, cool. Cool stuff, Cam.
Are you just working on word of mouth to spread the name of the site and what it's about at the moment, or are you doing a lot of self-promotion as well?
There's a lot of different ways. We have people working on it, but right now it's word of mouth. Since it's such a new technology, people are really excited about it, and people that otherwise might not advertise a site, we found, have really been telling their friends and, you know, updating their Twitters. We had a Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy on the other day, and as soon as he got on and saw what it was about, he sent a Twitter feed out to his 2.3 million followers and told them to all visit the site and stuff. So right now it's a lot of like grassroots promotion going on by people, just because they're genuinely interested in the site and they want to show it to as many people as they can.
You need to get Eminem on there, mate.
Yeah, well, we'd love to. If you have connections, let us know.
Well, I don't.
And the Beastie Boys, Brad.
Oh, yeah, and them too, yeah.
You like them too?
Yeah, I love them, yeah. That's a great band, them. Yeah, music's good. And, yeah, what about you, Aaron? What are your thoughts on this, mate?
I think this is just brilliant. What a brilliant idea. My biggest question is, like, Did you find it difficult to put the site together, like using the live stream tools?
Technically, the site was not too difficult for us to put together. But what we've been finding is we have numerous people trying to do similar things with their products, and they're having a very difficult time. So they've been sending a lot of requests towards us, asking us how we're pulling this off. And up to this point, we've been very helpful with everyone else and, you know, helping them out with their audio problems and their video problems. So it was simple for me, but it does seem to be a little bit difficult for other people.
I get a bit of work right. through consulting how to set up this kind of site in the future for others.
Yeah.
And what was that?
You might get a bit of work consulting.
Yeah, I'd say the interest is so strong and then this type of project that I'd say about three different groups come to me a day and ask me why they're having problems and can I help them with it.
Cool.
Well, that sounds like provide.
Yeah. Sounds great. Now, do you reckon you'll ever put out an iPhone app for this or an iPad app?
Actually, that is another aspect of this. We do have a mobile feed available. If you go to hangoutparty.com on your iPad or your Android, you can watch and listen to the streams. On the actual Hangouts, the true Google Plus Hangouts, you cannot witness the Hangouts on a mobile app. So we actually expand Google Hangouts beyond what Google is doing themselves currently right now.
Cool. So give that link out one more time for the mobile users.
The mobile users, if they use their browser and they go to hangoutparty.com, there's not an app, but if they have a Flash-enabled browzer, they are able to watch and listen and chat with the streams.
Okay, cool. All right, sounds good, mate. And where can they find you on the internet and that sort of thing? And do you make money out of this, or is it all free and that sort of stuff?
It's currently all free. There's some revenue coming in, but it's still not as much as the expenses. But that's not what we're doing right now. We're doing it for the love of the technology and the fun of the people we've been meeting. And we're just trying to include as many people as possible. So we're trying to keep it we're going to keep it free for as long as we can, which I'm sure it'll be free. And that's just so that as many people as possible can be a part of it.
All right. Cool stuff, mate. All right. And where can they find you on Google Plus and Twitter and stuff?
If you go to Google Plus, if you look for Cam Meadows, C-A-M Meadows.
Yep.
You can circle me, and you could always send me a message there.
Cool. All right. Any questions before he goes, guys? Any questions to Cam?
I see you've got a section there for adding a schedule for upcoming shows. There doesn't seem to be anything much there at the moment, but in the future.
Yeah, we have a lot of schedules. We're still working on the team who's updating the calendar, but we use Google Calendars, and you can view and different people are going to get ability to add themselves different events when there's opening. So that will be updated really soon.
Cool. Will it be an ability to subscribe to get an email for upcoming events?
Yes, you will be able to subscribe to the Google Calendar.
Cool. That sounds great.
We're trying to use the Google products as much as possible because we are actually working with Google on this project. They're working hand in hand with me actually on it and giving me little advice as much as they're allowed to. You know, they're not allowed to say too much, but they've worked with me since the first day we put the site online, and we have their blessing and their support.
Fantastic.
Great stuff, mate. All right, so any last words before you go, Jason or Aaron, to Cam? That's it, Aaron.
Just good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
I think it's such an excellent idea, and I think it's going to there's awesome opportunities to get from it. I think this is amazing. Good on you.
Yeah, I agree. Good on you, Cam. Thanks for being on, mate, and thanks for taking the time to being on.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
And, that's Cam from hangoutparties.com.
Cool.
Good
stuff.
Thank
you. Bye.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Micro Patrol is in better.com. I was on Chatterbox Live the other day with him. And it was great, mate. Great show. And he actually did a shout-out to us. Jason, I hope you don't mind me playing this video, but
that's fine.
Goes for a couple minutes. But this is what he said about Tech Webcasts and Chatterbox Live.
Good evening. I'm Peter Mazur from MicroPatrol.com. Just wanted to thank a few people today for having me on their respective podcasts. Actually, Steven from Chatterbox Live had me on Justin.TV today, and we were talking all about broadcasting, and here's a look at that conversation.
Yeah, I want to get a chance everybody to see what your show looks like a little bit. And
wow, I'm embarrassed. That's the stuff I did like 6 months ago before I...
Oh, was it?
I got
serious. Oh, okay. Maybe I should have called you and asked first. Yeah, I didn't realize. Now, I think on your website, you also mentioned going back to some of the gear you use. It says here, I think, Canon Vixia. I guess it's a camcorder. I don't know if you can integrate it into the show or not. Or
well, you know, in... So basically, that was the conversation we had going back and forth. That's Steven from Chatterbox Live, which is an excellent, excellent podcast, which is broadcast live on Justin.TV. You can check him out on Blip.TV as well as YouTube. We'll have links in the show notes. And another gentleman that we had on there with us is Brad from the Tech Webcast. You can find that on their website, techwebcast.info. And Brad is actually from Australia. He's got a great, great podcast network that he's got started there. The cool thing is he's got a widget on there from Podomatic, so you can actually listen to his podcast right from the show. Be sure to add both of these guys on iTunes, where their podcasts are available for download. So just want to give a big thank you to both Steven and Brad for having me on Chatterbox Live. Looking very forward on August 26th. It's going to be at 10 p.m. Central Time. 10 p.m. Central Time on the Tech Webcast. TechWebcast.info with Brad. Very excited to be on their show. We're going to have both of these guys on MicroPatrol.com coming to you very soon. Please don't forget, check out our website. It's www.micropatrol.com. It's real easy to remember. And the reason you need to check it out is because that is where I put all of the most recent content. It's where you're going to find episodes. You're going to find interviews. You're going to find articles, product reviews, and everything that you're looking for, as well as our sponsors. Information on how to contact us, all that and more, is online at micropatrol.com. Go to the top, click Contact Us. It's going to give you email address, phone number, all of the above. Give us a call, 615-544-5054. We'd love to take your voicemail, put them on the air, or send us an email or a Vmail, micropatrol@gmail.com. We're looking forward to you. And if you're not following us on Twitter now, I don't know what your excuse is. It's at micropatrol. We're also on Facebook. And as soon as we can get 25 more people, just search micropatrol with a space on Facebook for our micropatrol page. Once we've had 25 people added to that, we will have facebook.com/micropatrol. Not quite yet, but we're getting there. So add us, like us, get on Facebook. Steven, Brad, thanks for talking to me earlier tonight. Brad, looking very forward to being on the techwebcast.info, your podcast, which is, of course, available from iTunes. Thank you, guys. Look forward to having you here on micropatrol and kind of turning it around and letting me ask you the questions about how you guys got interested in podcasting and just how crazy it is. Just in episode 108, one of the stories we talked about was a Samsung Galaxy tablet, which was delayed release in Australia due to a copy patent battle with Apple. And if you'll remember, during that video, I was kind of laughing, saying, you know, I don't really know why I'm telling you guys a story about Australia. There's nobody in the United States that probably, frankly, cares that a tablet's going to be delayed release in Australia. And surely enough, I got an email from Brad from Tech Webcast, who's actually in Australia. And, you know, that just kind of brought this full circle, the power of everything we're doing here. So this whole netcasting, livecasting, podcasting, streamcasting, whatever you want to call it, it's awesome stuff. And you're going to find more of it here on micropatrol.com. And don't forget to check out Chatterbox Live. And the Tech Webcast.
Yes, indeed. That was a great plug for Tech Webcast. Don't you agree, guys?
Awesome.
It's very awesome. This guy is going to take off. And the way I found him was he did a response to the Tech Buzz. And,
oh, okay.
It's really good. Good to get out there and get the word out there for different podcasts and websites and stuff. This guy's actually new. He's just starting out and he needs some promotion and stuff.
We'll help them and they'll help us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, sweet.
And have you guys seen the website? What are your thoughts on the website?
I haven't seen the website. I watched that video the other day, though.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Yeah. I saw his website. Looks like he's doing a lot of content, like not just weekly, but like all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's doing like the live stream and stuff and that sort of thing. And
it's gonna be another Dylan Coombs.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. Me and Jason are going to be on that show in a couple, few weeks. He's going to interview us, and can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Going to be fun. All right, let's move on to the next topic. What's the next topic, Jason?
Got some new stuff.
All right. What's been happening, man?
Skype for the iPad's finally been released, and then it disappeared, cool. And then it came back again.
Good stuff.
Skype for iPad features everything you'll find in the iPhone app, including messaging and voice calls, as well as video chat, but takes advantage of the superior hardware of the iPad 2. It's finally here. Skype for iPad has finally been released in the Apple App Store. After months of waiting, iPad users can finally ditch the iPhone app and download this optimized build that takes full advantage of the extra screen real estate provided on the iPad. Skype for iPad features everything you'll find in the iPhone app, including messaging and voice calls, as well as video chat, but takes advantage of the superior hardware of the iPad 2 to deliver full-screen video chats using both front and back video cameras. In operation, the video chat capabilities are largely differentiate the iPad app from the iPhone version, which until today was the only way iPad users could use Skype. It looks and works in a similar fashion to Apple's own FaceTime app, with the added benefits of working over a 3G connection and giving iPad owners access to full-screen video with other Skype users. Other iPad optimizations include the ability to send instant messages while chatting over video, a new grid-like view of the user's contacts, including large avatars and easier navigation, with the ability to locate recent conversations and your Skype history at the touch of a button. It's also easier to send SMS messages simply by opening a contact and choosing Send SMS. Skype for the iPad is available now as a free download. Two-way video functionality requires an iPad 2. Skype is also available for Windows, Mac, Linux, iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone. Google is a latecomer to social networking, but its new site is growing much faster than MySpace, Facebook, or Twitter did in their early days, according to technology experts. However, it still remains to be seen whether Google Plus can pose a serious threat to Facebook, which has more than 750 million members. Andrew Lipsman, a vice president for industry analysis at tracking firm Comscore, said Google Plus, which was launched on June 28, had 25 million unique visitors as of July 24th. During a panel discussion hosted by Wedbush Securities, Mr. Lipsman said it took other social networks much longer to reach 25 million users, 22 months for MySpace, 33 months for Twitter, and 37 months for Facebook. Obviously, this is very strong growth trajectory, he said. He cautioned, however, that Google has a really large user base that it can build off of with its 1 billion users worldwide. And it still has a really long way to go to be competitive with Facebook, he said. Google Plus is the fastest by a long shot, but it's more important to realize that the fastest may not always be the best. Sometimes that slow build can lead to a long network effect that pays long-term dividends. Most Google Plus users, 6.4 million, are in the US, followed by India with 3.6 million, Canada with 1.1 million, Britain with 1.1 million, and Germany with over 920,000, according to Comscore. Mr. Lipsman said many Plus users appeared to also be users of Gmail and display a very strong early adapter profile. He said the ratio of men to women was about 2-1 and that 60% of users were between the ages of 18 and 34. In the US, the highest numbers of Google Plus users are in the tech-savvy cities of San Francisco and Austin. Steve Rubel, Executive President for Global Strategy and Insights at public relations firm Edelman, said Facebook was not vulnerable immediately to Google. I don't see Google Plus taking significant share from Facebook in the next 18 months, he said. At the same time, what we have seen is that over the years, there have never been a social network or community that has had significant staying power, he said. There's always a shuffling every 2 or 3 years, a changing of the guard. We saw it with MySpace, he said, of the one-time social network leader that has been losing users ever since it was eclipsed by Facebook. Mr. Rubel said Google was compelled to try its hand at social networking because Facebook was restricting the access of its search engine to Facebook content. What's happening is more content is being created behind Facebook walls than ever before, and all of that content is invisible to Google, he said. Conceptually, at least, they're building a kind of alternate web. There's also an entire web that is app-based on mobile phones, and that's invisible to them. Mr. Rubel said it was conceivable that more content would be invisible to Google in 5 or 10 years than what the search engine can see today. So they had to make a play to get more people to create content on their site, he said. It's to get more people to spend more time on Google. In unveiling Plus, Google stressed its ability to let users separate online friends and family into different circles or networks and share information only with members of a particular circle. One of the criticisms of Facebook is that updates are shared with all of one's friends unless a user has gone through a relatively complicated process to create separate Facebook groups. Randi Zuckerberg, the sister of Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg and director of marketing for the social network, is leaving to start her own company, Facebook said. We can confirm Randi has decided to leave Facebook to start her own company, a Facebook spokesman said. We are grateful for her important service. Technology blog All Things Digital said Zuckerberg was leaving to start a new media firm to help companies become more social, called R2Z Media. In her resignation letter obtained by All Things Digital, she said she has spent the past 6 years at Facebook innovating and pushing the media industry forward by introducing new concepts. We have made incredible progress, but there's still much to be done and other ways I can affect change, she said. Now is the perfect time for me to move outside of Facebook to build a company focused on the exciting trends underway in the media industry. Zuckerberg said that Facebook would clearly be a central element in all of my projects and that she would continue to be a strong vocal evangelist for the most incredible social platform ever created. Facebook was founded in 2004 by Mark Zuckerberg while he was a student at Harvard University. Membership of the social network recently topped 750 million. If you thought that unlocking cars via SMS was the definition of nefarious, think again. At the Black Hat Security Conference, security researcher Jerome Radcliffe has detailed how our use of SCADA insulin pumps, pacemakers and implanted defibrillators could lead to untraceable lethal attacks from half a mile away. Radcliffe, who is a diabetic with a wireless, always attached insulin pump, was slightly worried that someone might be able to hack his pump, meddle with its settings and kill him. And so, in true hacker fashion, he has spent the last 2 years trying to hack it himself. Unfortunately, he was very successful. He managed to intercept the wireless control signals, reverse them, inject some fake data, and then send it back to the pump. He could increase the amount of insulin injected by the pump or reduce it. In both cases, the pump showed no signs of being tampered with, and it did not generate a warning that he was probably about to die. I can get full remote control, Radcliffe said. If I were an evil hacker, I could issue commands to give insulin without anyone's authority. This is scary, and I can manipulate the data so it happens in a stealth way. A new software update for Apple's Apple TV streaming box has added a feature that makes up for its lack of built-in storage by making purchased video content available whenever viewers want to watch it. The company's $99 box can now stream purchased TV shows on demand directly from Apple servers and also lets users buy contents directly from the box. The move to serve up purchased videos is no minor addition. One of Apple TV's biggest losses in the move to a rental-only model, besides no longer storing content locally, was that you ended up with a more limited selection of video content since only a handful of TV networks were offering rentals. One workaround was to use another device with that purchased content stored on it, be it a computer or iOS device like iPhone or iPad. Now Apple's taken on that responsibility by storing the content on its own servers, making it available whenever it's needed. Adding on-demand streaming for video also suggests that a feature is on its way to other devices and software, including iTunes itself, which is expected to receive its annual update next month. When debuting iCloud back in June, notably missing was a video component, though this update would suggest it's to be added. Although the TV show tweaks, today's update brings web videos from Vimeo, which joins Google's YouTube and Yahoo's Flickr as popular web properties in app form. In CNET's hand-on with the update, John Falcone noticed that a streaming standard definition version of a TV show directly from Apple required waiting for the box to buffer for a full 6 minutes on a speedy network through a controlled 802.11n network. During this time, users can go about using other Apple TV features. The official version change number in the update goes from 4.2.2 to 4.3. Apple is planning to bring the box up to a full new version with iOS 5, which will bring the streaming of iOS applications to the Apple TV using Apple's AirPlay technology. During the last fiscal quarter of earnings call, Apple Chief Operating Officer Tim Cook once again referred to the Apple TV as a hobby device and noted the company doesn't position it with the same profile as some of its other devices since it's not another leg of the stool. And Sony is adjusting its PlayStation Vita launch plans and rolling back to an earlier claim that the new portable system would be out in at least one territory by the end of 2011. According to an AP report, Japan has been selected as 2011's sole recipient of the Vita. Speaking to the press in Tokyo, SEI Chairman Kaz Hirai has clarified that the PlayStation Vita would miss the holidays in America and Europe and instead rolling out to those regions during early 2012. Previously, Sony said it would be available in the global market starting at the end of 2011. Hirai insisted that the launch would not be accompanied by a lowered price, despite Nintendo's hasty and reactionary price drop on the Nintendo 3DS. "We packed so much into the device and made it very affordable," Hirai said. "There's no need to lower the price just because somebody else that happens to be in the video games business decided they were going to lower their price. The PlayStation Vita will start at $249 alongside a 3G-enabled version for $299. And that's the news for Tech Webcast today.
Good news, mate. Good news.
Yeah.
Do you still use your Xbox much?
Not very much at all.
No, same.
Last week I did some exercises with the Your Shape Fitness Evolve from Ubisoft, but other than that, I haven't had it turned on at all. No. In fact, when I turned it on, I had to wait half an hour or so for it to reply an update that I think came out about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
I just haven't had it on. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same. I haven't really been getting into many games. I've been using Steam on the computer here. But,
yeah, you having fun with that?
Yeah. I think I'm enjoying.
What games do you like on Steam?
Oh, I've been playing Call of Duty Black Ops, you know, them sort of games.
Yep. Did you try the Indie Bundle?
No, I haven't tried that one yet, no.
Okay, Indie Bundle 3 has now got Indie Bundle 2 games for free with it, plus free playing of Minecraft until August the 14th and some other bonuses thrown in there as well.
Okay, cool. Good stuff.
I think they've effectively doubled the number of games and added in a lot of other features as well due to putting the Bundle 2 in with the new Bundle 3. So you have to purchase, I think, pay at least over $10 to buy the bundle, because as usual, you can pick whatever price you want, but if you pay over $10, you get Indie 2 bundle plus Minecraft plus a bunch of other things thrown in as well.
Oh, nice. All right. That sounds pretty good. Let's talk about an iPad app called Oz TV. Now, Jason, you've been using that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just started using it this week. I wanted to look up something on what time it was going to be on the television and what it was going to be about. So yep. I fired up the app for the first time this week, and the last two or three nights I've been reading through there, finding out what shows are coming up, and setting up on TiVo a season pass so that I could watch them.
Cool, yeah. What are your favourite features about the app?
I think it's just so easy to use. It's very clean, clear interface. You can see everything you want at once.
Definitely.
You can flip it around. It automatically rotates from portrait to landscape.
Yep.
And you can read details about information about the show, what's coming up, and rather than just the show name, you can actually click on it and then see what the show is going to be about, a bit of extra information there.
Definitely. I like the movie category. You look at all the movies that's coming up on the different channels.
Yeah, I think they should somehow go to the TiVo Genie website, read some of the code there and figure out how to put that into it, so you could click on it and then click season pass or something, and you could record it on your TiVo. I'm sure it could be possible.
Yeah, that was not a bad idea, actually. That could work, yeah.
Yeah, it'd probably take a lot of work from them, but it'd be really neat if they could do that.
Yeah, for sure. And also that TiVo update, mate, that was a big disappointment, wasn't it?
Yeah, they said they're just moving their content to get new providers to provide the content to the old one. So same content, nothing's changed, just you got a bunch of outages while they, I guess, save some money by finding somebody else to supply their feeds.
Yeah, true. Anyway, Aaron, any last words before we go, mate? Any, you want to add anything before we go?
Actually, there's something that I thought would be pretty interesting is that, everyone's been talking about how Vodafone are just horrible this year. And just this week, the Sydney Morning Herald released the numbers on the amount of customers they've lost this year. And it turns out it was 375,000 customers that they've lost.
Gee, that's a lot.
One of my friends did. She's gone over to Telstra now. Couldn't be happier.
Yeah, so many people are saying the same thing. Yeah. And the financial losses, like the parent company, VHA, they did a $96 million downturn, and that turned out to be like a $78 million loss for the company. So they're not even making any profit anymore. They're just bleeding, hemorrhaging cash and customers.
They got to do something.
Yeah. And they are doing something, but they can't make it happen soon enough. They're replacing all of their 3G towers, but it'll take until the end of next year to be finished with that. They'll they'll be toast by then.
Everybody will be gone before that.
Yeah. I mean,
you could be the only company in Australia that gave like unlimited data for $10 a month or something and people would still go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. And when the news came out that they're losing all these customers, like I thought they lost about 50,000 customers, which would just be ridiculous. But 375,000 customers in Australia. That's crazy. Yeah. So I thought you'd find that interesting.
Mm. Now, Jason, have you been using the Skype? Have you tried the new Skype on the iPad? Or
I've installed it. I haven't used it yet. I was actually going to use it later today.
Yeah, the video quality, mate, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, it's good. Great video quality.
Good to have a native version of it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just do a universal that works on both. But you know,
definitely for sure. And before we go, any update on the new app for the Tech Webcast or?
Ansgar released their new stable version of the Corona, so I'll try doing some builds over this weekend and see if that how that goes.
Sweet. And also, there's going to be a video version this week as well, or of this show.
Yep, definitely.
Cool. Definitely. Okay, yeah, Glenn was actually asking me about it the other day, and.
I've got a new lower third to put on it as well.
Oh, cool. Can't wait to see that. That's going to be good. That's all to do with iMovie, is it? Or?
Yep. Oh, cool. I thought there must be some way to do it, so I Googled up, found out how to do it, did some testing.
Oh, good. Good on you. That's very cool. All right. Well, this has been episode 146. Thanks, guys, for being on. Next week's going to be another good show. Again, leave some comments on iTunes and Twitter and stuff, what you want to hear.
And, yep, you can find me at bluebilby.com and on Twitter, Warlock, W-A-U-L-O-K, and Bluebilby Apps.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at Brad Oz, Tech Webcast, Tech Luster. And Aaron, where can they find you, mate?
Oz Tech News, OZ Tech News on Twitter and oztechnews.com.
Good stuff. And there was some argument going on the other day on your website about that back Gregory Evans guy. I've just seen that. Yeah, you sent me a text message.
It turns out there's a lot of people that don't like him. Last week's guest, he gets a lot of people angry. It was interesting to see. I had no idea, and I was just sort of watching it all unfold. But I couldn't get into it now without us going over time. But
no, you're right.
Yeah, but anyone who's listening to the show want to follow that up further, check the website and have a read about it. It's been pretty interesting. There's quite a massive rivalry between Gregory Evans and Kevin Micknick.
Yeah, we should try and get that guy on the show.
One of my friends at work listened to the episode of Tech Webcast from last week, and he said it's one of the best ones we've had. He really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And also we're going to have Adam Turner on too. Can't wait to talk to him too.
Yep, that'll be great.
He's a well-known name in technology news.
Australia, yep.
Yep, Australia. All right, thanks guys for being on.
See ya.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.